Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I've been driving trucks for 15 years. You get used to the weird shit. Gas stations at 3 a.m., lot lizards, addicts wandering the parking lots. But what happened at that 7-Eleven last month still keeps me up at night. I was on hour 20 of what should have been a 14-hour haul, popping caffeine pills, blasting metal, slapping myself, anything to stay awake. My bladder was about to explode when I spotted this 7-Eleven store, standing like this sad little beacon in the middle of nowhere. The parking lot had just one car, a rusted-out Civic plastered with stickers about government mind control. Perfect.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Exactly what I needed at 3:17 a.m., some tweaker working the register. The bell chimed as I walked in. Behind the counter stood this rail thin dude, maybe mid-20s, staring at his phone. He didn't look up, just stood there with this know-it-all smile that didn't reach his eyes. "Bathroom?" I asked. He pointed to the back, still fixated on his screen. His fingers looked wrong somehow, too long, joints bending at angles that made my stomach turn. The nails were chewed raw, and dried blood had caked around the cuticles. I chalked it up to exhaustion and headed toward the restroom. The floor was sticky, making that sick peeling sound with each step. The whole place reeked of burnt coffee and bleach, and something rotten. Inside the bathroom, fluorescent lights buzzed overhead, one of them flickering like a strobe. 2 stalls, 1 urinal crusted with God knows what. I locked myself in the first one, my knees practically touching the door. I was getting down with my business when I heard slow breathing. It was coming from the next stall over. Not normal breathing. This wet, rasping sound like someone drowning from the inside out. "Sorry, man," I mumbled, embarrassed someone was listening to me piss. No answer, just that breathing. For a second, everything went quiet. "Hello?" I called out. The breathing has stopped. The silence that followed was worse. I finished quickly and stepped out, ready to get the hell out of there. The faucet was dripping, each drop hitting the stained porcelain with a rhythmic ping that seemed to get louder. I turned the tap to splash some water on my face. The mirror in front of me faced all the stalls behind. As I leaned forward, I caught something in the reflection, movement in the right beside mine, from where I heard the breathing few seconds back. In the reflection, I could see fingers, impossibly long, gray-white fingers curling around the edge of the stall door. I froze, watching as a figure began to emerge in the reflection. The cashier. But he looked total psycho this time. His eyes wide, shoulders hunched at an impossible angle. The smile looked 10 times more sinister, and he was drooling like some mad dog about to snap. I hurriedly lunged for the door. It wouldn't budge. The handle turned, but a force seemed to block it. The lights flickered once, twice, then died completely. Suffocating darkness took over. A smell of rotten meat just kept choking the air around. "Did I scare you?" It was right against my ear. A cold finger grazed my nape. "No one stops here anymore. I had to do something fun." A phone screen lit up, illuminating his face inches from mine. His eyes were dark, pupils so dilated they looked like black holes sucking in all the light. I slammed my elbow back, connecting with something solid. He grunted, but he didn't release me. His fingers dug into my shoulders with impossible strength. "Don't leave," he whined like a baby. "I'm so lonely." In panic, I grabbed the metal trash can and swung it at his head. It connected with a sickening crack. He staggered back, releasing me. I turned the handle harder, but the door wouldn't budge. He was still behind me. I could hear the wet, skittering noise. I peeped over my shoulder to see the cashier crawling toward me on all fours, moving impossibly fast. His head hung at an unnatural angle where I'd hit him, but that smile never faltered.
Lonely? I'm so lonely. I've nobody to call my own.
He sang, making a sad face. I threw my full weight against the door, increasing the strength with each try, until finally it gave way. I sprinted through the 7-Eleven store like some prey dodging the predator, the cashier's giggles following me all the way until it turned to screams of rage. He was cursing me to come back, but I didn't look back, just ran to my truck. As I fumbled with my keys, I glanced back. He stood in the doorway, perfectly still except for his head, which tilted sideways at an angle that should have snapped a human's neck. The fluorescent light above him flickered, casting his elongated shadow across the parking lot. He raised one hand and spread his fingers, too many fingers, in a wave.
"Do come again!"
he yelled, like it was some casual night of fun for him. I was lucky that the roads were mostly empty that night, otherwise I definitely would have met with accident. A week later after this incident, I saw a news coverage on a local media channel. They're talking about a man who worked at a 7-Eleven store. Many customers kept complaining about the bad stench in the bathroom of the 7-Eleven for days, when finally cops had to intervene. They found dead animal carcasses stuffed in the vents and storage spaces. Upon questioning, they arrested the employee who worked there. It was the same guy from that night. When the cops asked him why he killed stray animals and kept their dead bodies inside the store, he replied he didn't like being alone. Working the night shift at 7-Eleven was never something I listed on my bucket list, but money talks, and lordy did I need it. My coworker Mia had cautioned me about all the weirdos who come out at night.
"Just keep pepper spray in your pocket,"
she'd said while laughing. I laughed too. I wasn't worried about creeps. I can handle myself. The first few hours went by without much happening. A couple of late-night snackers, some drunken college kids rolling around laughing at the candy aisle, and a cat lady buying beer. She smelled of her cats. Around 1 a.m., the store had gone quiet. The humming fridge and the occasional click of the tilted surveillance camera reminded me of my existence from time to time. I leaned down on the register, arm tucked under my head, just for a minute. I promised myself just a quick nap. A blast of cold air hit me in the face. I flinched, but didn't move, probably the AC kicking on. Then another gust rippled through, but this time wasn't just air. This gust carried with it a rancid refuse smell that made my nose crinkle. I opened my eyes and nearly shrieked. A man's face hovered inches from mine, grinning ear to ear, eyes wide like he was watching something hilarious unfold. I jolted back in shock. The man laughed, actually laughed, like a child who just popped out of a closet to scare his sibling.
"Sorry,"
he said between chuckles.
"Didn't know how else to wake you."
Feeling annoyed by his nonsense, I rudely replied,
"Could have tried calling."
He tilted his head, nodded slowly.
Yeah, you're right.
There was something strange about him right away. He blinked too little, smiled for too long. His clothes were tattered, pale skin illuminated by the fluorescent overheads, and a black backpack slung over one shoulder that looked very heavy, too heavy.
"You buying anything?"
I said in an attempt to push the moment back to something normal.
"Not yet,"
he said, drifting into aisles as if he had all the time in the world. I kept my eyes locked on him from behind the wooden counter. Something about him made my skin feel prickly, crawly, even. He smiled randomly, as if he were having a private conversation with himself. And that smell, horrible, rotten smell, it followed him like a dog. He returned 10 minutes later holding a banana milkshake and a sandwich, placed them on the counter as if he were a child showing his parent his new favorite toy. I scanned him in.
"Do you ever, I don't know how to say this without sounding crazy, but do you ever think that this place this store doesn't exist? Like, we're all part of someone else's dream, and that's why there seems to be no consideration given to anything we do.
I didn't have an answer. He smiled.
Sometimes I feel like I'm still asleep, still in the alley, still hearing her scream.
I stopped scanning. My stomach flipped.
Wait, what?
He chuckled.
The sandwich smells like someone screamed when they made it, like they put fear in the bread.
I didn't say anything. I just handed him his total. He paid with crumpled cash, his fingers brushing against mine. They were very cold. He shuffled over to the corner table and sat down, facing the wall, hunched over like a gargoyle. He dove into the sandwich, eating like he hadn't eaten in days.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS, the list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
I tried to concentrate on restocking gum at the counter. Not that it helped. I couldn't stop sneaking glances over at him. That's when I noticed. His backpack was on the floor next to him. The bottom of it was wet. Even though it was black, I could see the stain spreading outward. At first, I thought he spilled something. Then my mind blanked. Water, soda, anything. But then something inside me screamed at me. No, that's not soda. Then he caught my eye. His jaw was still moving, sandwich half gone, crumbs clinging to his shirt. His gaze was hollow, and his knuckles, my God, his knuckles were red and swollen, like he'd been punching concrete. Mud caked under his fingernails, dark and dry. The scent hit me once more, but this time it was stronger. It was definitely him. It was decay. Death. I thought I might retch. He was done eating and stood up slowly. He picked the backpack up as though it weighed 100 pounds. I didn't want to look at him, but I couldn't help myself. Where the bag had been on the table were bloodstains. Small, but unmistakable stains from a hand that had to have been bloody. I felt my body lock into place. I couldn't move. I couldn't take a proper breath. He started for the exit now. Each step sounded in slow motion like a death march. The automated doors opened with a hiss. He stopped halfway through the doors. He turned back again one more time.
Hope she didn't keep you up, he said, voice low and strange. She wouldn't shut up all night.
Then he grinned bigger and more brightly than he had earlier, and he stepped into the darkness. I stared at the doors for what felt like hours, too paralyzed to move. Finally, I reached for my phone. I dialed 911 and relayed the entire story. His appearance, his backpack, the smell, the blood, the eerie comment. The woman on the phone told me to stay calm. I was anything but calm. 2 days later, I saw him pop up on the news. Arrest for murder. Woman found in an alley downtown, mutilated. She was a street worker from somewhere, bludgeoned to death, missing her head, which the cops found in his backpack. He was walking around with it for hours. They said he went into multiple stores carrying the severed head in his backpack, the same one that leaked onto my store floor. The next day, I quit. Since then, I haven't stepped foot in a 7-Eleven. But sometimes, when it's late at night, and I'm in bed with the lights off, and suddenly feel a gust of wind on my face, I jump in fear, thinking it's him. I've been driving for 23 hours straight that night. Cross-country trip after my mom's funeral. Too broke for a hotel and too numb to care. My eyes burned, the road blurred. When the 7-Eleven sign appeared like some neon mirage, I nearly wept with relief. The parking lot was empty except for a rusted Honda. The digital clock on my dash read 12:17 a.m. As I killed the engine, something crawled up my spine, that feeling of being watched. When I pushed through the door, the fluorescent lights buzzed like angry insects. The place reeked of bleach and burnt coffee. Everything looked sickly, unreal. The cashier was a scrawny kid, barely out of high school, glued to his phone. The coffee smelled burnt, but I needed the caffeine. As I filled a cup, I felt warmth breathe. Too close to my skin, the hairs on my neck rose. I turned, and my whole body froze. A guy in a black hoodie stood inches away. I couldn't see much of his face, just pale skin and these wide, unblinking eyes. Too wide, like they'd been stretched.
"You shouldn't be here right now,"
he whispered, voice tight like he was being strangled. My chest went cold. "What?" He didn't repeat. His eyes flicked, fast and sharp, toward the glass door.
"They're coming,"
he muttered.
"Leave before it's too late."
My skin prickled all over. I turned to the cashier. The kid still hadn't moved, scrolling, dead-eyed, like he didn't hear a thing the guy had said. I turned back, but he was gone. No footsteps, no door chime, just a trail of crisp, cold air. My heart hammered against my ribs. Who was he, and what was he trying to warn me about? I hurriedly grabbed a Snickers. Just pay and go. Simple. I was an aisle away from the cashier when suddenly the door chimed and two men sauntered in. The first was built like a linebacker, denim jacket stretched tight across massive shoulders, hands that could crush a skull. The second was tall and wiry with a buzzed head. They didn't grab drinks or snacks, didn't even pretend to shop.
"Empty the register."
Denim jacket slapped the cashier in the face, and the boy's cell phone clattered onto the counter. Instinctively, I ducked behind the chip display. Through the gaps in the shelf, I saw Buzzcott pull out a gun.
"Be a nice boy and you'll get off with just a black eye."
The beeping of the register was impossibly loud. I could hear cash being shoved into pockets, the rustle of bills, the cashier's ragged breathing. My own heart pounded so hard, I was terrified they'd hear it. Keeping an eye on the counter, I started crawling toward the end of the aisle. 3 more feet, and I'd have a straight shot to the door.
"This it?"
Denim Jacket snarled. I was close, real close, just a half a meter, and I'd have the safety of my car. But then my fingers trembled, slick with sweat, and that damn snicker slipped and hit the linoleum with a soft thud. Everything stopped. Even the buzzing lights seemed to go silent.
"Check that. We ain't alone,"
Buzzcut said. I sprinted, no thinking, pure animal terror, burst from behind the display, lunging for the exit.
"Hey!"
The first shot exploded through the air. Glass shattered next to my head. The noise so loud, my ears rang. The second shot tore through my left arm. At first, it just felt like someone had slammed me with a bat. But then came the pain, sharp and stinging, like somebody poured gasoline in the wound and lit a match. I hit the door with my good shoulder, stumbling into the parking lot.
Keys! Where were my freaking keys?
I dug through my pocket, fingers slippery with blood. They fell, skidding under my car. I dropped to my knees, cursing, feeling under the chassis. Behind me, the door chimed. I looked back to see Buzzcut in the doorway, gun pointed right at me. Just as our eyes met, my fingers closed around the keys. I scrambled up, fumbling with the lock, leaving bloody handprints on the door. I got in somehow. The engine roared to life as the third shot cracked my back window. I floored it. In the rear view, I saw him just standing there, watching me go. I drove blind with panic. 10 miles down the highway. I had to pull over. I couldn't feel my fingers anymore. 3 days slipped by in the hospital. The cops showed up on the second one. I told them everything. The robbery, the panic, the man in the hoodie.
"We'll try to catch the guys,"
one of them said.
"What about the other guy, the one in the hoodie?"
I asked. The cop paused.
"What hoodie guy, Logan? There was no one else in that store. Just you, the cashier, and the two perps."
"Check the security footage,"
I snapped.
"He was there. He warned me."
They checked, but every frame showed the same thing. Me grabbing burnt coffee, ducking behind an aisle, running for my life.
"Maybe your exhausted head made it up."
The cop shrugged, and I believed him. Till today, I try to make sense of that night, but it all seems like a drowning memory. Who do you think that guy was? Was he real or just some trigger of my brain?